Levy Show.
Why do we need a spokesperson in every single State Department? Ask yourself that question. I speak for myself. I don't need a spokesperson. They don't need a stimulus plan. All they're going to do is listen to this show. We'll stimulate the economy.
I shudder sometimes to think what this world is going to look like 20, 25 years from now. It's going to be bizarre.
Got something to say? Call now. 508-755-0058.
Oh, they're going to make small cuts. What if you have six kids, a dog, a mother-in-law, you and your wife? Are you going to put your family in a car that's the size of a washing machine or a lawnmower? We should have the Department of Getting Screwed in Washington, D.C. That should be what we should have. And I could head it up.
On News Talk 580 and 94.9 FM, WTAG.
Well, I've been looking for a real job for a while now, so maybe that'll be my new vocation. But right now, we have some guests in the studio and a very, very important mission, a very important statement to the community. And I hope you'll pay attention to this because this is something that really is life and death and opportunity. The UMass Colorectal Cancer Symposium is coming up. And it's March 17th on St. Patrick's Day. So before you go out and celebrate on St. Patrick's Day, you should show up at the symposium. From 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., Faculty Conference Center, first floor, University of Massachusetts Medical Center, 55 Lake Ave North. Worcester, this year's speaker is going to be Dr. Leonard Morse, and I had the great honor last year to kick off being the first principal speaker at the first colorectal cancer symposium. And joining us today is Dr. Justin Makel, the Chief of the Division of Colon and Rectal Surgery, Dr. Dominic Nonpleggi, Chief of Gastroenterology, and Lisa Allen discussed the... You don't even have a title, Lisa?
I do have a title.
Well, what is it here?
I'm playing patient
today.
Oh,
discuss the benefits of screening. So she's the patient, and everyone else is doctors here except for me. Let's start off with the boss here. We'll go right over to Dr. Makel, and let's talk about the symposium, and let's also talk about, in general terms, this most important informational month, which is Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month, that people should heed the professional call to smarten up and get tested.
Yeah, well, I mean, we come here with a pretty simple message. It's that number one in 16 people over their lifetime will be diagnosed with colorectal cancer. Number two, 95% of those are preventable. And we take March as our awareness month to try and get the word out there about the importance of getting tested. And in this day and age, really probably the best test for getting screened for colorectal cancer is colonoscopy. There are others that are available. But the purpose of the symposium and the purpose of this month is for us to explain to the general public exactly what the risk factors are for colorectal cancer and also what the treatment options are.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you firsthand because, as I said last year, and I've certainly mentioned on this radio show many, many, many times, this is really a no-brainer. I mean, this is really a no-brainer. You don't have to have a doctorate degree to understand this. It just is a preventable form of cancer. That you can by a pretty simple test. I mean, I have to tell you, the worst part of it is the prep. If they could find a better way to prep me, I'd be having no problem. I have a history in my family of colorectal cancer, so I become a very prime suspect. I've had many colonoscopies. They're a cakewalk. They give you funny medicine. You feel great. You get up, you get good news, and you go home. Matter of fact, I came back to work. I actually came back to work. I came on the radio. So, I mean, that's how... Well, maybe a goofy I have to be to do this show. But anyway, let me jump over to you before we go to Dr. Fletcher. From the perspective of yourself.
So I wish I could say that I went in and got good news and went home. I actually walked by the I work at UMass. I'm an employee there. And I walked by the Colorectal Cancer Symposium last year on my way to my office because I have no family history. I eat 5 fruits and vegetables a day. I exercise. And, I was 52 years old, and they were doing these screensavers that kept saying, get your colonoscopy. And I said, I'm going to Italy for a vacation, and when I get back, it's going to be a great way to lose weight. I'll go get my screening done, and,
You don't lose any weight.
So I know, well, but it was a good thing. I finally said, this is the time to do it. And so I went in on a Friday and was joking with everybody, it'd be easy, I have no other health conditions, mm-hmm. And I had a colorectal surgeon do my colonoscopy, and it's somebody I've known for a long time, and he walked in and he said, I don't even know how to tell you this. You have colon cancer. Or pretty sure, because I've seen a lot of these. So, but they caught it early. I was in stage two, and they, you know, I joke that I was a colon when I went in. Now I'm a semicolon. So I had a piece taken out, and you know, didn't have to have any chemotherapy because
they
caught it early enough. But I've said to everybody, a bunch of us turned 50 at the same time. We all had a lot of excuses, and you know, I had other tests, screening tests. I had no symptoms, so you know, I think it was a real wake-up call to me and a lot of my 50-year-old friends that, I mean, I've had no history. There's no reason I should have gotten it. Bad luck.
Well, you know,
Jordan, the reason
the cards are dealt, I guess.
That's right.
The reason why we do colonoscopies is to basically find these polyps, which can over time turn into cancer. It's a preventative cancer. It's a prevention test. There are also times when the goal of colonoscopy is to find cancers when they're early and they're treatable. Most patients in this group are asymptomatic, meaning they're not having any bleeding. They haven't noticed any changes in their bowels. They're not losing any weight. But at the same time, there's something growing inside their colon that can be addressed, and that was the situation here.
Dr. Nopology, from your perspective, I mean, you're a gastroenterologist. I mean, you're dealing in this all the time. And I know the frustrations from the physician's point of view of people that should be doing this.
I mean, I think, as you mentioned, people are afraid to do the test because they're worried about about the preparation, about the actual procedure. But I'll tell you, you know, I've been doing this for 20 years, and the most common question I get from patients after we've finished the procedure is they look at me and say, when are you going to start? They don't even remember having the procedure. That's how comfortable it can be in some patients.
I've watched it. I've seen it. I've been, you know, aware of it. I even had a photograph given to me, and I chased everybody around. I was kind of making fun of it afterwards. You know, you want to see my colon? You know, you're running around the office and trying to drive everybody crazy.
But, you know, it's this type of procedure and this type of preventative treatment is the best thing, because as doctors, anything that we have to deal with is easier. It's easier to prevent a disease than it is to treat it, any kind of disease. And that's what we can do here, and we're fortunate to be able to do that.
And a lot of polyps that are removed, I've had polyps removed a number of times, and that, again, raises the awareness aspect, and the doctors obviously watch it closer. They're benign. So, but they stay there, and you don't have this test, and they can certainly turn, and there's a great medical history that says if they stay there, they're going to turn, and then you get yourself in trouble.
You know, I'm at the symposium on Wednesday. I'm going to show a slide in my talk where you look at the progression from a benign polyp to a cancer, and the polyps are there for many, many years, so there's lots of opportunities to go in and intervene. But then that period from when they get to a certain size and become a cancer is a much shorter period. So we only have, you know, a short window to get in there and get them out and prevent.
There's a period of time also between each exam, and that varies with a family history doctor, whether you've had polyps before or not, a number of things, age, all of
these
things.
Sure, I mean, you know, the initial exam is what we call screening. Any subsequent exams are what we call surveillance or following people over time. And the issue mainly for screening are these barriers that you're talking about, and whether it's patient fear of the unknown, fear of a diagnosis. Sometimes there are financial barriers. Sometimes it's just not a want to go through that preparation that everybody fears so much. And again, to get back to your original question, the goal of this symposium, the goal of the month, and is to talk about these barriers and try and break them down to get people in for their screening.
Yeah, and that's not an easy thing to do. I mean, I've talked to my friends and stuff over the years, and it's just amazing how we all are part of the ostrich family. You know, we all run around putting our head in, it will go away if I don't do this, and... what I don't know won't hurt me. Well, that's what I don't know does hurt me, unfortunately.
One of the things that we did in conjunction with our our gastroenterology colleague last year is put together a program at UMass Memorial where we provided screening colonoscopies to all employees who are of age. Typically, we talk about people at age 50 starting their screening. If you have a family history or other risk factors, we start at age 40. And again, that was to break down the barriers. That means that UMass Memorial paid for the exams, paid for the copay, paid for the bowel prep itself. Again, trying to encourage people to participate. And that's, I think, one of the reasons why Lisa came in for her exam.
Yeah. Well, thank God you did.
Yeah, I mean, I'm, you know.
I mean, a little way down the road, I mean, we wouldn't be sitting here chatting. It'd be a little different type of a situation. And that's what's sad about this disease. And I mean, we know, I know very well about, you know, what cancer can do to somebody that is not easily diagnosed. And by the time it is, sometimes much more difficult, as you said, doctor, to be able to even treat it. This is one that can, and let me even say about the PrEP, I mean, I'm not gonna glorify it. It's like having, having a case of an upset stomach and having a little diarrhea for one night for a few hours, and you go to the bathroom a lot and you clean yourself out. I mean, it's not pleasant drinking it, but it's not the worst scenario in the world. It's it's mind over matter. It really is.
People in California are paying big bucks for these colonics.
Yeah, they do.
They're going out of health food stores.
That's a big inn down there. You know, I think I joked last year that, I'm the only guy in the world that calls my doctor and says, "Is it time yet for me to have my colonoscopy?" Because it's not that I enjoy it so much. I just have now realized that this is such an important thing for me to stay healthy. And there's no reason for anyone out there at all to fear this thing. It just isn't.
My advice is mix it with two different flavors so you're not drinking the same thing the whole night.
Yeah, I kind of just sit there and kind of time it, you know, is it time yet for the next glass? And then, Montezuma revenge, and it's over, you know, and then you go the next morning, and it's just the most uplifting thing to hear that you're okay. You have to stay that way. So, I mean, the challenge is there. How about, we talked last year, I know when I spoke at the symposium, we talked last year about the primary care physicians. Being a little bit more aggressive. I'm not downing them, but I mean, getting a little bit more aggressive, like, because you built a rapport with your primary care doctor that you might not build with people in your own position.
Right. I mean, it seems self-serving if we go out and say, "Come and have a colonoscopy," and the patients don't know us, but they know their primary care doctors. They trust them. And one of the objectives of the symposium is to get the information to the primary care doctors. I mean, I think most people know that age 50 is the time when you begin. But what a lot of people forget, and the general public, I don't think knows, is that in a person with high risk, that is somebody with a family history, your likelihood of having polyps or colon cancer is twice that of an average person. And in those patients, screening should start at age 40, not age 50. And that's one of the messages that we'd like to get across.
And it's really important because, again, you can really kind of kid yourself into believing this is, and you're not the doctor. You know, "I have a hemorrhoid." Well, how do you know? It hasn't shown up again, you know. I mean, by the time you've already had rectal bleeding, you can have a real problem. And many times it's not anything that serious, but, you know, that's what you have physicians for. That's what you have testing for. So it's really up to people to use your head.
That's exactly right. It's essential that if you start to have symptoms, you need to see your doctor and be evaluated. That's a no-brainer. It's encouraging people to come in when they're completely feeling healthy and thinking that they're 50 and healthy and no risk factors, and you can realize that actually, you know, potentially you can make a big difference in the course of your life.
But it's also interesting. I'm going to break here for a commercial. I got to make a buck. It's interesting, and, Dr. Pat Wadden happens to be my physician that deals with this and at UMass. The great statement that he makes is, you know, when these polyps are removed, you don't have to worry about them anymore. You know, I mean, they're gone. It's never going to be a cancer. Out they go. That's it. Gone. Clean. And subsequent years, just for people's edification, the last three colonoscopies that I've had have had no polyps. So now I'm further and further away from the epicenter of how many times I have to have colonoscopies. Not that I enjoy it so much I want them every year, but, you know, I'm marking on my calendar. I don't even wait for their office to call because it's that important. This is one of the things I can prevent if I stay on top of this thing. And there's not a lot of them I can. You were a good eater and all that stuff. I don't even do that well. So, I mean, you know, I have all the other things that make me a higher risk. But, you know, at least I can do for myself and my family is do this test. And if you don't want to do it for you, do it for your wife and your kids, your grandchildren. That's a message. I mean, do it for somebody else. If you're really so self-centered or so fearful, just think of the other people that you're going to really screw up their life if you don't have this test. And you end up having this disease and you have to suffer through it. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll be back. We're going to wrap it up here and talk some more about it, get you involved. We'll be right back.
Hi, Jim Polito from the WTAG Morning News with another big celebrity endorsement. This time, it's controversial conservative author Ann Coulter.
Jim, I'd love to ride on the back of that Harley with you.
That may just be an offer. I can't refuse.